exercise out there in the third dimension with your smart devices. You can really exercise your thumbs on this show. Hello, I'm Gary. This is my wife, Gloria.
Hi, everybody.
And we're Grace Faith Christian Discipleship. And on screen with us, we've got Cherry Toll from North Carolina. And we've also got another North Carolina person, John Tripp, about to join us.
Yeah, good timing.
And Yeah, so we're coming to you from the east coast of Australia in a little city called Ipswich in Queensland, Australia. G'day, John.
Good evening.
Good evening. Yeah, yes. Good to have you here with us. And for the people out there in the third dimension, this is a Bible study. We are in the book of Hebrews, and tonight we're going to be studying Hebrews chapter 7 from verse 4, I believe. But before we get into that, I'm going to get Gloria to open with prayer and lead us through communion, if you would please, Gloria.
Father God, we thank you for this precious day. Right now here in Australia, it is Resurrection Sunday. And as the hours pass all around the world, everyone who calls themselves a Christian will be celebrating Resurrection Sunday. We thank you for this most precious time of the year. And Father God, we know that you sent your son Jesus for the very purpose that he give his life for all mankind. And we thank you for him. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ministers who've given their time today to come and examine the word and to speak the word for those people who are so hungry today, especially today, to want to know answers to their problems. We want to know answers to the situation the world finds itself in. So Father God, you are the way. Jesus is the way. You have the answers, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I don't usually interrupt Gloria, but while you were just praying and opening this Bible study with prayer, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit how important the resurrection is. How important the resurrection is. We've, you know, over Easter, we remember Jesus suffering at the cross, that he was crucified for us. He didn't go to the cross because he needed to go there. We were the ones that needed to go to the cross. But do you know, as important as remembering that is, and it is the fact that we have a risen Lord that is makes Christianity stand apart from all the other religions of the world, because only we have a risen Savior. Our God is alive. Amen.
Amen.
Back to you, Gloria.
So if you would like to join us for communion this morning, please go and get yourself some elements that you can use today, something to represent the body and blood of Jesus, whether it be bread or crackers or juice or wine, whatever you would like, and come back. And I'm going to just start by reading out of Mark chapter 16, because Gary and I were reading this morning and we thought how appropriate this would be for our communion message this morning. And it says, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him, as he said to you.' So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. So we believe that Jesus was crucified, that Jesus has risen, that Jesus is alive today. And he says for us to come and remember him, to remember his body, to remember his blood. And as we take communion together, we believe that he is risen, that he is alive. So, Father God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus, that perfect sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. We thank you that his body was whipped and took upon itself the infirmities and sicknesses and diseases of all mankind, that by his stripes we were healed, and we remember the body of Jesus, and we thank you for it in his precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
We remember the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at the cross, that blood that took away the sin of the world. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the risen Lord, and we give you all glory and all honor and praise. And thank you for your precious blood.
Thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed for me.
Praise your holy name. Thank you. On this Resurrection Sunday, we praise and remember you, Jesus. All glory and honor to you.
Praise you, Jesus. The importance of resurrection, we call it Resurrection Sunday, but the importance of the resurrection for me really stands out. That to receive salvation, God has two requirements, only two. There are only two requirements to receive salvation. One is to confess with your mouth the lordship of Jesus. In other words, to call him Lord. And the second is to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. It doesn't say anything about repenting for your sins. It doesn't even say anything about Jesus being crucified. But what it does say is that we have a risen Lord. That, to me, just makes the resurrection of Jesus just so, so important, because without the resurrection, there is no eternal life. Amen? I hope the people watching in the third dimension really get the revelation of this, that it is the resurrection of Jesus that makes it possible for us, because he was the first to be born again. And we, because of him going first, who put our faith in him, can also be born again. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's go to, yes, Gloria?
Yeah, you're right, okay. Hebrews.
Hebrews, I'm going to share screen. And if you can hear some carrying on in the background, we have got a puppy in the house.
Mm.
And rather than running to his every whimper.
Which is really, really hard for me. I want to run there and pick him up and give him a cuddle, but...
Well, that's rewarding bad behaviour,
yeah,
so he can carry on and eventually he'll stop.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's in a safe place, so don't be concerned. He's in a totally safe place.
Okay, so we're going to share a screen and we'll go to the Takata Bible app here. And we're actually starting from verse 4,
mm-hmm.
But I want Gloria to read down to verse 3, and I will make my comments first, and then we'll go to Cherry, and Cherry will introduce herself and then make comments from verse 4 down to So you'll be commenting on verse 4 to verse 10, Cherry, and then you'll be followed by John. But first of all, Gloria's going to read from chapter 7, verse 1 down to verse 3, so that we can bring everything into context. And then I'll read from verse 4.
Okay. For this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham during returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remaining a priest continually.
Okay, so we did a Bible study. If you look at the previous Bible studies, these were in a series. We studied out those verses, and if you want to have a look at that, you'll see, if you just go to the one above in our playlist, you'll see it on our YouTube channel. Okay, so I'm going to read Hebrews 7, verse 4 down to 10, and I'll take it through slowly because I'm going to make my comments as I go. Now consider how great this man was. Well, who's the man that we're talking about? We're talking about Melchizedek. Now consider how great this Melchizedek was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. See, the spoils were from the battles that Abraham and his followers had won from those who, like they call it, the slaughter of the kings. And so he gave a tenth of the spoils. So this one tenth sort of fits in with the tithes, right? And this is well before the law of Moses, hundreds and hundreds of years before the law of Moses. Verse 5, and indeed those who are of the sons of Levi, well, let's just see, I'll just click on the word those, and it brings up these, the related passages in Numbers 18, verse 21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meetings. And then over in 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. Okay. Gloria's just going to attend to a door that's banging out there. I'd say it's the bedroom door, our bedroom door. Just close it. Now, where was I? Have commanded received tithes from the people to the Lord, that is from their brethren. Okay, let me read verse 5 again. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi's who received the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Verse 6. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. Okay. So this, to me, this takes a bit of getting your head around, right? Let's go back to verse 5. And indeed those who are of the sons of Levi who received the priesthood. So he's talking about the sons of Levi who are the priests amongst the children of Israel, have a commandment to receive tithes from all the children of Israel according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Verse 6, but he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithe from Abraham and blessed him. Let's go to the hymn. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Amen. Right? Who had the promise. Blessed him who had the promise. Right? Abraham had the promise. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. The lesser, in this case being Abraham, is blessed by the better, being Melchizedek, right? Even though Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. Here, mortal men, Melchizedek was a mortal man, received tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Let's go to this of, right? Hebrews 5:6. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He's talking about Jesus here. You, Jesus, are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 6:20, where the forerunner has entered for us. The forerunner I was just talking about before, being Jesus, who was raised from the dead, enters before us, even Jesus, well, it confirms that, having become high priest forever. You know, this chapter 7 is all about the eternal priesthood forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You see, the priests under the Levitical priesthood, they only lived a normal life, you know, and died. But Jesus is our priest forever. Revelations 1:18, I am he who lives. This is talking about Jesus. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Amen. Wow, what a powerful statement that is. Verse 8, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. And we've just read that. Verse 9, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. See, even Levi, right, who receives tithes from the children of Israel, paid tithes through Abraham, right, so to speak. How did he do that? Because Abraham was his ancestor. So how did he do that? For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Amen? Okay, so it's I'll close down the screen share and I'll get you to comment on verse 4 down to verse 10, please, Cherry. And then we'll go to John.
Well, verse 7, the one is what you said. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser referring to the king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, the one who met Abraham, which was in verse 1, in verse 1, who met Abraham returning. You're talking about the priest of Salem. And then is blessed by the better. And the blessed by the better is referring to Jesus is now our high priest. Hebrews 10:20 says, by a new living way. Let's see, 7. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Well, I believe what he's talking about is the better is, and we haven't gotten to Hebrews 10:20, but it says that by a new living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil. The veil was ripped from top to bottom. I think that's very important that we know that when Christ ascended to into the heavens. The veil was ripped. It is now his flesh having a high priest over the house of God. He is now our high priest. That was Hebrews 10:20. A priest, Levitical, you know, that's about all I can say. What you said was very hard passage to get your head around.
Yeah, I found it the same, Cherry.
It really is. I've been studying really this afternoon.
You really have to take it step by step. You've got to remember who the audience is.
Yep.
Audience are very familiar with the Levitical priesthood because this is written to the Hebrews. Who are the Hebrews? They're the children of Israel, right? It's written to Gentiles. But these particular children of Israel had converted from Judaism to Christianity. So he's speaking to born-again Christians. But these people, unlike us, they had a really good handle on the Levitical priesthood. So he's like making the comparison of, and we go on to read that there needed to be a change of the priesthood. And he's preparing them to sort of like, well, how does this work? How can this Jesus be a priest when he's not even he's of the tribe of Judah. He's not of Aaron, you know? That's what he's doing. He's explaining it. Now, for us Gentiles, it's pretty hard for us to get our heads around it. But for his audience, it wasn't hard at all. Because it's like they already knew about the Levitical priesthood, and he's showing them how this all fits in, why there was a need for this change. Over to you, John.
I'm John Tripp. I live in the state of North Carolina. Don't live far from Cherry. So, Gary, when we look at that, we don't know much about Melchizedek, but we do know when it says to him, he is the order of Melchizedek, means Melchizedek was a king and a priest. Okay. The Leviticals were only priests. Okay. But Jesus has always been referred to as he's of that order. Jesus is a king. He's also a priest. So that's, we don't know much about that. So that's a sort of a new statement, but that's what that means. And seven, where it says what you just discussing about, even though Melchizedek was the better, the promises still came through Abraham.
Yeah, thanks, John. Wow. Such a revelation there, John. I hadn't picked that up. That was really good. King and priest, and that the Levites were only priests.
They were only priests.
Mm.
But also, when it refers to us, it says we are the royal priesthood later on in the word.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
We're part of the same order.
Yeah. Amen. Wow. Well, you certainly got a good handle on that, John. That's great. Okay, let's read on. Gloria's out tending to the puppy dog. She'll be back in a minute. And I've just got my finger on the space bar here while I've got us muted. So, I'm unmuted now. And I can now share screen and we'll go on. So, the next section will be 11 and 12, and we'll go straight to you, Cherry, there. So I will just read verses 11 and 12. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, in brackets, for under it the people received the law, close brackets, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron. Verse 12. For the priesthood being changed of necessity, there is also a change of the law. That's as far as I'm going to read. Over to you, please, Cherry.
The Levitical priesthood could not save us. Only Jesus saves us. That's it. They had to go in. They were humans. They had to go in and do sacrifices and traditions and everything. When Christ came, he's the end of the. That's why we have to have a new priest. That's why he died on the cross for us. He's our forever priest. That's about all I can say about that. I mean, that's what's going on here.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And he's preempting that there's going to be a change to the law. And as we read on further, we'll find out what that change is. Over to you, John.
Well, I can't add a lot to that, but it does say in Psalm 110, verse 4, it does say, well, I can read it to you. I just opened it up, which is exactly what we've been talking about. It says, Yahweh has taken a solemn oath and will never back away from it, saying, you are a priest for eternity, after the manner or order. I think that's one of the Melchizedek. I'm having trouble saying that tonight, but that's exactly what we're talking about. A king and a priest, and that's what he was. And Jesus is our king and our priest. Amen. And I think, you know, if the law had been perfect, there would have been no need for Jesus to ever have come. So, I mean, I think we agree to that. So,
yeah, that's right. So what John and Cherry have pointed at is that you could not receive salvation through the law. So there was a need for this change. So let's read on. We'll go down to verse 13, and I'll read from 13 to 16, and then we'll go across to Cherry again. We're making good headway this morning, or this evening. So I'm going to read, where are we? Verse 13, there it is. For he of whom these things are spoken belonged to another tribe. The he is Jesus. For he of whom things are spoken belongs to another tribe. We mentioned that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah, from which no man had officiated at the altar. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. That priest who is Jesus. Verse 16, who has come not according to the law of the fleshly commandment, but according to the power of an endless life. And we'll just leave it at that, and I'll go straight to Cherry, please.
Oh, gosh. I didn't study that far. But he is our high priest who's already ascended into heaven forever. And the only thing that I got from that, I don't really know this relates at all together. So I'm going to pass on that.
Okay, over to you.
I'll let you expound on that. I'm going to be honest with you.
Go ahead, John.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Gary. Well, you know, you look at that, and I think it might refer to, at least in verse 16 here, who is made not after a carnal commandment. Either they're talking about the Old Testament. And so you look at that and you say, well, we think ahead to Jesus and the New Testament. It's not an extension of the Old Testament. It's something completely new. So that's what we're pointing to right here. Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, John. I'm just going to share screen again, just go back to that. Okay, so verses 13 to 16. For he, Jesus, of whom these things are spoken, belonged to another tribe. So he's explaining to these, the children of Israel, the Hebrews, who had converted to Christianity. For he of whom these things are spoken, Jesus, belonged to another tribe, for which no man has officiated at the altar. Verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord, so these people are Christians, arose from Judah, of which tribe Moses spoke nothing concerning the priesthood. So there was nothing in the law of Moses about this. Verse 15, and it is yet far more evidence if, like in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Let me get my tongue around this and say it, read it better. And it is yet far more evident if, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arise another priest. Verse 16, who has come not according to the law of fleshly commandments, he's talking about the law of Moses, who has come not according to the law of Moses, but according to the power of an endless life. Wow, what a statement, endless life. This is talking about him being Jesus being our priest forever, for eternity. Amen. And we're going to leave it at that for today. So I'm going to close the screen. But, you know, I want to speak to the people out there in the third dimension. That's you guys who are watching on, whether it be while we're live streaming or whether you're watching afterwards. You know, today here in Australia is Resurrection Sunday. And the resurrection of Jesus is the forerunner. And because he is our risen Lord, we too can spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. And Jesus is our Savior. He is our Lord and Savior. But he is one person of the Trinity. The Trinity being God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Ghost. One God in three persons. The Trinity can be explained, but the Trinity cannot be debated. There are differences in the body of Christ, but the foundational truths remain across the board. If you don't have the Son, Jesus, then you don't have the Father or the Holy Spirit. You know, there's things in Christianity that are foundational, and if people call themselves Christian but don't believe in the Trinity, then they're not Christians. They're a cult. I'll say that again. They're a cult. And I'm kind of speaking from my heart here. I want to ask, Do you identify as being Christian? Do you call yourself a Christian? And I can hear many people out there, I can hear with my spiritual ears, many people out there saying, yes, of course I'm a Christian. Why would I be watching this Christian Bible study if I wasn't a Christian? Well, let me ask you a second question. If you were to die tonight, do you know with all certainty that you'd go to heaven? And I can hear people answer, well, no, but I sure hope so. Well, let me put it to you that the Bible says that you can have certainty in your own salvation. It says that the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. Do you have the Holy Spirit witnessing with your spirit that you are the child of God? If you've just answered no, then you need to be born again, because the Bible's not wishy-washy about this. The Bible says absolutely. The only way that you can know whether you've got your ticket to heaven is if the Holy Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. And it's easy to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if you will confess with your mouth, that means speak it audibly aloud, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. Write this down. You need that revelation. Write this down. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. Jesus said over in chapter 3, he said, you must be born again. Do not marvel that I say to you, he was speaking to Nicodemus, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. But he didn't tell Nicodemus how to be born again. However, the Apostle Paul told us how to be born again, and that's in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. So I invite you to say a prayer with me this morning or this evening in line with that, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And if you can get a handle on this prayer, then you will have that confidence that you must have, that you are a child of God, that you are born again, and that you have your ticket to heaven. It's all based on this prayer. Say this with me. God, I've heard about Jesus. I've heard the good news. I've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I made this decision right now to call Jesus my Lord and my Savior. I give you, Jesus, Lordship of my life. From this day forth, I'll not do it my way. I'll do it your way, Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I thank you, God, that I can now call you my Heavenly Father. I thank you, God, that Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. I thank you that the Holy Spirit now indwells me, that my body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I now have eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time today, then send us an email to gfcd.sozo@gmail.com. And we'll put you in touch with a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ in your local area. That's right. This is a global ministry. Even though there's only three of us on screen today, there are many in the GFCD group in the ministry group. So we'll put you in touch with somebody in your local area. And believe me, you're going to need help, because today you've just said the beginner's prayer. This is the beginning of your Christian walk. And you're going to need help, just as I did, just as Cherry did, just as John did, in our Christian walk. Jesus says, you know, make disciples of all the nations. Today's trendy word for that is to make mentors of the people who put up their hand to become followers of Jesus, which is what you have just done. And I'm just going to ask Cherry right now to close this Bible study with prayer. And we'll see you this time next week. So take note of where you're watching us, because we'll be back in exactly 7 days' time from now with another GFCD Bible study. Over to you, Cherry, to close this with prayer, please.
That was God, because I have a scripture, and I want everybody to hear this. Jesus, the Son of God, seeing that we have such a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, Son of God, let us hold fast our confidence, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, and at all points tempted, and we are as we are, yet without sin. And so, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that the people in the third dimension know that we have a high priest, and you hear our prayers, and you hear our heart. And I thank you, Father God, for what you've done tonight and how we've learned. This was hard scriptures to get around, but Lord, you are still in the midst, and you are a high priest, and we thank you so much, Father God, for what you did on the cross for us. But thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you for the people that listened in the third dimension. We just praise you, and we thank you, and we pray that tomorrow we'll have an incredible, all of us will have an incredible time, Lord, as we worship you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Cherry, and thank you, John, and thank you for giving up your time to minister today. And thank you out there in the third dimension for joining Grace Faith Christian Discipleship in another GFCD Q&A Bible study. We'll see you this time next week. God bless all. Bye for now. Amen.